Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. Today we're going to be visiting and talking with Dr. Shanhong Lu, better known as Dr. Lu or Lu. She lives up in Mount Shasta, and she's someone that my wife and I have been running into off and on for about 10 years. She's on to something pretty amazing, because we all want to get healthy, right? That's a given. But what we forget is, what is it that's making us sick? Is it the heavy metals, the toxins, the relationship that we have with getting older as we go on? There's different things we need to start paying attention to. And we also get into ozone therapy, we get into the government, and we get into how the agencies that are our watchdog agencies, like the CDC, the EPA, these agencies are government agencies that we pay their bills. We pay all of our taxes to support these agencies, and they do not watch out for us. They have been taken over by corporate entities that it's called a revolving door. Many of the people sitting in Congress and the senators are now sitting on the boards of corporations like Monsanto, and we need to start paying attention. And I think the message that I get from Dr. Lu that really stands out is the need, the necessity to take responsibility for our own health, because no one else is. This is our responsibility, and we have it within our power to do this. But we need good information, and Dr. Lu is a fountain of information. I don't think there's anything I've ever asked her about health that she doesn't know some really in-depth and really helpful information to give me back. And as you know, wrong information, which is called disinformation or misinformation, this is what's polluting our airwaves with corporate media, with YouTube. I know of so many instances where think tanks with trolls are getting in there and diluting the information paths to really good, truthful, helpful information. So here is some of that information that I hope you will find helpful, because in today's world, truly, if you don't take responsibility for your health, you're in trouble. And I think we all know this from so many experiences with our friends and family that's gotten sick. It's a tough world out there when it comes to health. So hopefully you'll enjoy this interview. And in a couple weeks, maybe 4 weeks, I have an interview coming up with Greg Braden and some other really interesting interviews on the horizon too. So stick around and bookmark my channel, and we'll get back to you later after the interview. But first, I would like to say a quick something about cognitive dissonance, because we get into this with Dr. Lu. It's really important to recognize this, not only in other people, but in ourselves. In a previous issue, I wrote an article about this, and it's about misinformation and disinformation that's generated a lot of interest with the people that read our magazine. It's been clear that the response I received, that we can handle the truth if it's made available. The truth is out there, and in fact, it's all around us. So why don't we see it, and why don't we hear it when we come face to face with it? This blows my mind sometimes when I'm talking to people and I recognize they're not hearing my words. Actually, neurologically, they're not hearing it. A while back, I wrote a book based on questioning the validity of a quote by Voltaire, which is, "Those who can make you believe in absurdities can make you commit atrocities." The research for this book took me down the rabbit hole where academia, religion, and politics have intertwined with a small select group of families and individuals on this planet who think it's their duty and right to control and manipulate the masses. When I went on Coast to Coast radio show, I was being interviewed about the social and neurological consequences of our beliefs, and George opened the lines to callers, and an elderly lady said, "Well, I read your book, but I disagree with what you said about beliefs. I believe that everyone has to believe something." Okay, so let me clarify what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about beliefs that have become institutionalized as rigid and eternal truths, not ideas and hypotheses that are meant as stepping stones to the discovery of those truths. According to people like Dr. Andrew Newberg, whom I've interviewed a while back, and many others, this idea that you have to believe in something as in anything is an outdated cognitive function that we are evolving out of and is at the very heart of most personal and global misunderstandings. History has clearly shown that most everything that we've ever believed has ended up being completely wrong at worst, or dangerously misleading at best. Of course, you may not believe this, but bear with me here and just hear me out. I'll get back to the idea of holding on to a belief as if it were a confirmed truth. So, what is cognitive dissonance? This is a question that many people have asked, but very few people get to the heart of, because it is the wide divide between what we believe and reality sometimes. If you are ever somewhat in touch with your reality, you may be noticing some mental stress in your life. This could very well be the discomfort that a person feels when attempting to hold on to contradictory ideas, beliefs, or social values all at the same time when they're in conflict. We all want stability and consistency in our lives and will avoid information such as what I'm saying right now in this interview if it goes against what we have previously held to be true. In fact, we will fight with others not only mentally but physically who threaten us with contradictory information, ideas, or beliefs, especially if they come packaged with a lot of those pesky little things called facts. I think it was Mark Twain that once said that. So, the best way to avoid contradiction is to close down. Turn on your TV show, turn on the basketball game, lock the front door, which many of us do, and don't listen to anything that you disagree with. The trouble begins when there's a knock at the door. Knock, knock, and here we are face to face with a global society that shares very little in common with us, other than the fact that we breathe the same air. Because we are divided by how we believe and perceive reality. We would all be wise to ponder such quotes as William Blake when he said, "If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to us as it is, infinite. For man has closed himself up till he sees all things through narrow chinks of his cavern." And I think we really need to think about this, because we do. We filter out really good information. So this is nothing new to the human experience. But what is new is the fact that, one, we are waking up to a higher conscious levels of perception. And two, scientific research is peering deep into the nature of life itself. And three, we live in the information age where there is no real and lasting escape. So you might as well open that door. So, we all need to find our place in the scheme of things. Some of us need to raise our families and keep our kids safe. Some of us feel the need to protect others. And some of us have this incurable desire to heal the pain and suffering of others. Then there are people like me, working diligently to clean the windows of perception, so we can all see what reality actually is, which is infinite. But through the perception of outdated and misleading beliefs, societal ideas of what's right and wrong, and this sociopathic passion we have to prove ourselves right, we will forever find ourselves locked in conflict with others. And the most dangerous culprit of all, we will be in conflict with ourselves. So I think it would be really wise to remember what Bertrand Russell once said. He said, "I would never die for my beliefs because I could be wrong." And it will pay all of us to remember that statement as we continually uncover truths about lives, and science goes deeper into those realms that were the sanctum of religion only at one time. So let's listen to Dr. Shanhong Liu, and let's learn a lot about life and our health.
Okay, today we're going to be talking with Dr. Shanhong Liu of Mount Shasta. And my wife and I, we just listened to her give a talk the other day down in Chico. And she said some things that really grabbed me. One of which is the fact that we need to be more responsible on a local level for not only our health, but our food, our air, our water, because our government agencies, the watchdog agencies like the EPA, the Food and Drug Administration, the CDC, they're not looking out for us. They have that revolving door with politicians and CEOs that's been going on for years and years and years. And now the blending of the agencies and the government and the legislation has become very blurred, and it's become about the bottom line. It's not about our health. It's not about our future. Yeah. It's about short-term goals. And that's what I'd like to start out talking about and get your feedback about that. And then we'll go from there, Lou.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to share with you what I have been discovering in the past 20 years. Okay, so this is my own dilemma, right? I was trained as a conventional medical doctor, and I came to the United States, wanted to be doing some research on finding the root cause of hypertension. And that was my interest. My mom is a cardiologist. So after doing research, I decided to go back to clinical medicine because I found the research are heavily funded by pharmaceutical companies. So of course, there's a clear conflict of interest right there. So I decided, you know, I'll just be a doctor. That's much easier. But little do I know, we were bombarded with pharmaceutical trainings. And so all the young doctors, you know, we're just students. We were brainwashed that the pharmaceutical approach is the only way. You know, that's the problem I have. It's not like pharmaceutical drugs is just no good. That's the only thing they teach you. So that really bothers me. But anyway, I decided to come to Mount Shasta, and I dream to have an integrated medicine center so I can find out why people are sick, perhaps delay giving them pharmaceutical drugs, right? I'm really a curious person. But what's really concerning is about 12 years ago, myself got sick. I was allergy, asthma, I was having a heartburn. And, you know, consider I was a healthy person. You know, I was eating organic food, exercise every day. I really didn't understand what's happening in the environment. When I discovered in the past 10 to 20 years, there's a significant doubling of chronic sickness affecting all systems, okay? We're not just talking about people are catching flu more or have more cancer, you know, it's everything. People have memory issues, weight issues, more heart attack and stroke, even though their blood pressure is controlled perfect, even though their cholesterol are completely bottomed out with drug, they're still having heart attack. Cancer is not only affecting older people, it's affecting young people, affecting people they're just born. You know, this is not what human life is designed for, right? So 10, 20 years, multiple system disease hitting humanity at the same time. Chronic pain syndrome is taking away young white American father's life because chronic pain is leading to the massive opiate overdose. And many of the young people, you know, they're younger than 40. They're just hard worker, construction worker, and suddenly they're done with chronic pain. Many young people are losing their joints. You know, they just have some kind of injury, suddenly they're having knee replacement, you know, at a much younger age. So chronic disease have really affected many, many systems. The problem with medical doctor is we are looking at one piece of the puzzle. We're not putting it together, okay? So when I started putting it together, what I learned is in the past 10 to 20 years, we are seeing a massive agriculture chemical together with home furnishing, industrial chemical, heavy metal, and mold. These all are environmental toxins. And on top of that, we're seeing a very, very tremendous increase in electromagnetic frequencies, air pollution, too much airplane traffic, and the, you know, airplane fuel are loaded with chemicals to make the fuel burn more efficient, of course. So we're seeing a massive increase of chronic disease. And at the same time, our healthcare system is falling apart. Physicians are forced to see a patient every 7 to 15 minutes. You know, if you take your car to the car mechanic, you say, look, doctor car mechanic, what's wrong with my car, right? How long does it take? Take them a time to find out the problem. Medical doctors are giving 7 to 15 minutes. And the only time they can give you is ask the symptom and give you the drug to take care of the symptom. What's really concerning is our body have symptoms because our body tried to tell us something is wrong. Something is very wrong. But unfortunately, no one has time or the curiosity to find out why I suddenly gained 100 pounds, why I suddenly have a stroke at age 40, why do I have cancer, right? So everyone, the whole system is to address the symptom. The faster, the better. The problem is our body is bombarded with toxicity and stress. And suddenly the body said, you know, if you just want to cover me and silence the communication I'm trying to tell you what's going on, I'm just going to give you another disease. So suddenly people are taking multiple drugs for multiple system symptoms and disease diagnosis. At this point in my profession, after 20 years, I want to teach people, stop, jump on the diagnosis and what to do.
Okay.
Start looking at your body.
Now, we're going to be talking about a few things, but I want everybody that's listening to realize we're going to get to some solutions too. Because one thing I've noticed, Lou, is the cognitive dissonance with people right now is so wide that sometimes when I'm telling somebody about something like vaccines, for instance, I can tell they're not even hearing not only the concepts, but neurologically, they're not hearing the words. They're being filtered out because the world is shaken so much. You know, and one of the things about vaccines that I learned from Dr. Tenpenny is she was telling me that, and this is really curious too. She said, check this out and you'll see for yourself. She says, it's important, like people listening to this, check this information out because something triggers in your brain once you see for yourself. She said, go do this. And I did. I put out a Facebook post about vaccines being something that we should really check into because it looks like the information is bad, da 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 da. I got back at least five well-intentioned mothers. One was a healthcare practitioner here in the North Valley, condemning me because they were saying that, how can you do this? Don't you know that kids are dying from these diseases and da 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 da? I sent them all some links to check out, you know, some YouTube, some talks, and some information. And I said, if that doesn't work, get the vaccine that they're giving you and read the whole thing, not just the abstract. Because come to find out, even doctors only read the little abstract at the bottom, which tells you nothing about the ingredients or the background of how the research was done. You know, when they do research on the vaccination, within the first 7 to 10 days, if any of the, say, 100 kids, if any of those kids has an adverse reaction, they take them out of the study. That's not how research is done. So she was also telling me that early vaccinations is critical not to have because childhood diseases is what triggers the immune system. So now we have at least two generations walking around with immune systems that have been completely debilitated. So we are catching more of these chronic things going on. But yeah, continue on.
That is one of the things is because there's so much information and so much man-made challenges, right? We call man-made challenges to our immune system. And I think the critical thing we need to know is genetically about 30 to 50% of the population do not have the same capacity to detoxify, to calm down the immune system, okay? So you can have 100 kids doing the vaccine, 50 of them or 30 of them will have adverse reaction. So now genetically, we can actually look at it, okay? So you, if a mom is coming to say, you know, Dr. Liu, because California is, you know, everybody need to have vaccine, otherwise you can't go to school. So I said, you know, the best way to talk to your physician is to actually get your genetic testing done and go over it with a, you know, nutritional geneticist, the consultant, and what is the probability the person will have a, you know, immune system reaction. Do you see? Another thing I learned from the Great Plains Laboratory is they found out kids with a genetic challenge, such as autoimmune gene, you know, myself have autoimmune issue. If I already have the predisposition, I get the vaccine and that will actually deplete glutathione. Okay, glutathione is an antioxidant our body used to detoxify, will deplete it quickly. And then oftentimes, if I have a fever, and the pediatrician said, you know, if you take a Tylenol for the kids, if he has a fever, it actually will increase the injuries and the side effect of vaccine. So again, it need to be scientifically discussed with the parents. And recently I met an environmental medicine doctor. You know, he said, if you just say no all the time, it's not good enough, because that become like a non-scientific fear thing. You just need to look at the kid gene. You need to look at the chance of having injury. There's a percentage, and you bring it up to your pediatrician and say, this is what I have discovered, and I really would like to now to do this because of these reasons, you see? So that's one thing I really want to just kind of agree with you, but I also scientifically have physician take a look at it.
Yeah,
it's very, very important.
It's actually good that you're bringing up the science behind this, because another thing I found out are the people that are for vaccines, their biggest argument is read the science. Read the well, come to find out, that's the group that hasn't read the science. The people that's read the science are actually the people that's against the vaccines. So once they read the science, all you have to do is read what's in the vaccine, and it would take anybody of normal intelligence to at least have some fundamentally serious questions about injecting that into a newborn baby.
I totally agree with you. So I think that's, you know, you and I are both concerned about our next generation and the generation after. And, you know, I think our country, in terms of public health, we should really take a look, because what we're doing is, you just imagine, oh, our kids are getting sick. Who is going to build this country for the future? It's a non-sustainable anything, right? For the human race, Americans, also for our country's economy. If all these people are sick, who is going to take care of the country?
Yep.
And I think that's a short-sightedness. I don't really understand. I mean, any wise, conscious leadership will see this non-sustainability and the importance to create a healthy environment for our kids.
Yeah,
not just for our kids.
Actually, there's been some even politicians that once in a while they do think. And what they've been extrapolating out is just one little thing in our environment, autism. If you extrapolate that graph out over time, I forget, but it's like 30, 35 years from now, it's going to take the whole gross global product of money to take care of them. Yeah. And it's going to require every single person that doesn't have autism to take care of them, which makes you say, okay, who's going to be the policeman, the fireman, the people taking care of daily activities? We're going to be half the population or more is going to be taking care of the other half or less. And if we don't do something about this right now, all you need is a calculator to figure this out. You don't have to be a scientist. You just have to look at what's going on and the fact that we're actually accelerating the problem. Why do you think that we're doing this? I mean, I hate to get into conspiracy talk, but you have to admit there has to be two or more people behind the scenes meeting in secrecy to do these things. Why are they doing it?
Well, I think it's actually the Chinese. I just got invited to speak in China about Alzheimer's disease and autism. It's also becoming epidemic in China. Okay. Now, I don't think vaccine is the only explanation. Glyphosate, GMO food are clearly related to the increase of massive sickness as well. And so I think that it's a multifactorial phenomena. I think the Chinese people actually have higher risk because genetically many kids actually have the autoimmune gene and they can't turn off the autoimmune, you see? So anyway, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's just money control. We call the golden trumpet. Whoever has the money get to control the politics.
Right.
Politics and policies. So that's one of the reasons I want to empower people. I don't want to feel people are disempowered. So one of the reasons I went to Chico, I'm also going to go to Modesto, Yakima Valley, the agriculture places, is I want people to start detecting, collecting data on 172 chemicals, heavy metals, and what's your toxic burden. And then we can do a detox program and document the symptoms are getting better. Then we can present it to local government. Because I do feel we have very good example, cities like Portland, Maine, already is chemical-free city. And because citizens are going to the city council with data, with concerns, and the city councils are smaller, they're not controlled by the huge pharmaceutical, the huge agricultural chemical company, right? So they can probably say, hey, how about our city? Everybody just don't spray chemicals.
Right.
And another story is is City of Irvine. They recently banned chemical spray, at least in cities, parks, and schools. And that really drastically decreased a lot of the sickness in kids, such as asthma, allergy, all this food sensitivity issue.
You have to wonder, when you say Irvine, I know that area has a lot of Seventh-day Adventist people down there, and I bet you they have a lot of push and desire to make this happen, because that whole area, their longevity has actually shown up on research, that they live a little bit longer, I think that's what got us originally interested in Seventh-day Adventist, Feather River Hospital here, is because their diets are so much better than the average diet that people know about.
That is a very good point, because I also teach people, if you eat more plants, more organic, at least a dirty dozen, avoid the dirty dozen. If you eat more plants, your body is more alkaline, you have more antioxidants to deal with all the stress from different directions. Overall, your body is happier. And what I love, it's to be with these plant-based people is they really are healthier. You know, that's another thing. I do this talk to so many group of people.
Right.
That particular are wonderful people. They like to share their food. They're very open. They don't seem to be very close-minded. So I do think because their brain is closer to their heart.
Yeah, what's interesting about them is it's been really good for them because our people, our readers in our magazine, The Lotus Guide, they want to know this information. But what's curious is Feather River Hospital is a allopathic hospital, and they're at the base of it, they're also a religious organization. And they have opened up to be in a homeopathic alternative healthcare magazine. And we talk about things that are more spiritual than religious. And we even have articles about UFOs and rewriting our human history, because all of this information is coming out from a lot of the ancient scrolls and tablets that's been slowly getting out to the public. And we're starting to realize, oh my God, our human history is so complex, so interesting. And if we want to come from here and evolve to a better place, we need to know where we came from. And it's really done us good. My wife and I, our hearts felt good when they placed the ads in our magazine and is supplying information, because it's, for us, it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the times that those boundaries are starting to merge and cross over. And it's a good time to be in this position for us.
Got you. I do think what I love to tell people or share with people is there is hope. You cannot give up. Life is really short. You know, we have to enjoy it and try to leave the earth a better place than we left. I think with technology, sometimes we're short-sighted, and which is okay. I mean, humans are making mistakes all the time. But I think the thing that's very important is we learn the mistake, we admit it, right? We find a better way. I think the hard thing is people don't want to admit they made a mistake. You know, I my biggest mistake I made is in my practice is I used to teach people how to do the Atkins diet. And I also give them protein diet. And so what I learned is really the toxins that's making people gain the weight back. So now, since I discovered the plant-based way, I just like feel bad because I used to tell people to go home and get, you know, like a beef and make a big meal before they go to bed. So I used to think that was the right thing to do. But of course, I need to admit that, but that was wrong information. And I didn't do my diligence. I did not do my research. So I think in medicine, we all make mistakes. And sometimes we need to admit that. And it's okay. We're human beings. Being human beings are not perfect, right? So I think with the agricultural pollution, I talked to this beautiful, beautiful farmer. And he just told me about a way to keep the weed down is to actually grow your plant so healthy that they won't be influenced by weed.
Right.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's such a great philosophy of the human. If we're feeding ourselves with wonderful nutrition, and the disease will not touch us. You see? So it's the same parallel phenomena. And so one of the things that this company I really want to share with people is called the TAINIO. TAINIO technology. And they actually, what they do is they sell very huge bucket of fulvic acid, humic acid, and mineral repair to the soil so the plant can grow beautifully. They said, you know, we're not using any kind of weed killers. We're helping the plant to be healthier. So anyway, it's a wonderful company that, you know, they're a paradigm shift thinking. And I think eventually when we have good food, the human body will start to be awakened. We will see things together. Not the dumb. You know, right now, my concern is dumb. The people's brain are so fogged up and distracted. Their brain is so inflamed that they couldn't learn anything. That's my concern.
Yeah, actually, there's a good book that I'd like to mention. It's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of the World. And there's another one of America. And it has to do with there has been an ongoing process of deliberately dumbing us down, because I think it was Rockefeller said that we don't want thinkers, we want workers. And we can fight against that by getting self-educated and learning how to see the negativity like it's true. 40% of the arable soil on this planet has been really decimated. Okay, we need to see that so we don't keep doing it. Like you were saying, it's okay to make a mistake, but acknowledge it so we don't keep making it. But people don't do this enough. We need to start thinking, you know, instead of just doing the same thing over and over and think it's going to be a different. But what they have found is that to bring back soil, it only takes 2 or 3 years of working with it, and you can grow really, really good soil. Another good documentary is Symphony of the Soil. Beautiful documentary.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's all about how people are bringing soil back. And there's a place in Davis that's actually growing soil for farmers. And once you start growing organically, it takes less water. You know, you're not using expensive pesticides. But this is what the power structure is afraid of. But the thing that we have to keep in mind is we're not the 99%. We're the 99.99%. Every time we spend a dollar at the grocery store, we're putting a vote in for who we want to live and who we want to die, who we want to survive and prosper. And I tell you, I don't know if you've ever grown food or not, but when I go to the farmer's market, I can't even find it in my heart to try to bargain with them, because it's such hard work. And they're out there every day of their life in the sun and the heat, trying to bring us the best food possible. And I really appreciate that myself, because I'm getting ready to build a greenhouse and start growing my own food. But it's a lot of work, a lot of work.
It is. And you are absolutely right. When we look at the health food industry, right? When Berryville first opened health, you know, the little health food store, there's nobody is even doing it at all. If you go to Walmart, you go to Costco, you will find organic sessions. So I think the more we demand it, we just let those conventional toxic chemical food rotten on the shelf, they're not going to support it. So I think we have so much power. We are beyond the power we believe together. So I so love that.
You know, I would like to ask you a question, because this is something I've heard over the years, and I bet you know the answer to. There is an obesity problem in the United States especially. And I've heard that partially obesity is how we digest our food. If we're eating food and we're in stress or fearful, our bodies are digesting that food as quick energy, and there's nothing quicker than fat. But the other thing is, I was told that we accumulate fat to absorb toxins. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. So right now there's a new group of chemical we call obesogen. Obesogen, I'm going to send you the article. It has several characteristics. The definition of obesogen is chemicals that stimulate the fat cell to divide and stimulate the fat cell to grow. And it's very much like estrogen. So I don't know if you heard this, we call xenoestrogen. They're not real estrogen. They are estrogen that make man to grow boobs, right? We do see that. I sometimes see some skinny man has a little boob. And so These are estrogenic chemicals, and most of them are from plastics, fire retardants, pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. They are petroleum products that mimic the estrogen of human body. And estrogen is the reason that women have more fat than men. You know, when we become a young woman, we just have more fat. And estrogen is also responsible for the increase of, you know, this estrogen dominance phenomena, which cause endocrine tumors. Endocrine tumors are fibrocystic breast disease, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer. Why prostate? Well, prostate is actually that we call the man's breast, because they have the same sensitivity to environmental estrogens as woman's breast, okay? So again, that's where of the, when you see big people, you can see they, some of them, they're happy. I don't know if you see the big people are kind of relatively happy, you know?
Right.
And, but they know they need to lose weight, right? But I also see young women. The I had 25 years old, decided to go on some kind of diet and lose 25 pounds. And she did, but she didn't detox. What happened is when she becomes skinnier, she actually becomes sicker. She went into kidney failure and autoimmune disease. Okay? So I always tell people, the fat is there for a reason. If you don't know, it's a stress cause or toxin cause. If you don't solve the problem, your little body actually will contain more higher dose of toxins. And we have many, many cases, such as, you know, some people lose 25 pounds, they can't sleep, their hair fall out, they develop gallbladder issue. So they were like, what's going on? I lost weight, I should be feeling good, right? But because of the toxins are in a smaller container. And also, I found younger people, when they're skinnier sometimes, they're very unhappy. And you wonder why that there's unhappiness, you know? You're so skinny, you're so perfect, why you're not happy? Sometimes that could be the toxins are still in their brain. So I just tell people, you know, if you're not ready to lose weight, don't even try. But if you decided to lose weight, you need to get detox in part of your program.
Wow, that's good information, Lou. Really good. So you are a good source of information. So I'm getting ready to buy an ozone generator. What do you think about ozone generators?
Okay, so oxygen therapy has been one of the newest breakthrough. It apparently is really good for cancer, because cancer does not like oxygen. Okay. My only concern is our body is a constant homeostasis between oxidative stress and antioxidant. So you want these two to be balanced. Some people are very sensitive to too much oxygen, because they can actually have too much oxidative stress. So I would say, you know, maybe use it when you as needed, but not constant, because you may tip the antioxidant and oxidative stress balance.
Yeah, I was told that I should put it on a half hour at night in a room that we're not sleeping, and no more than a half an hour, and just move it from room to room. Okay, here's another question for you.
Dr. Lou and I were momentarily cut off, and it's interesting because it always kicks in my conspiracy meter, but we're back on the air now.
Yep. That was probably the government cutting us off.
I hope they're not watching us. The Big Brother is watching you.
I tell you, they watch everything that's emailed, talked on telephones or on the internet. It's all being recorded, and they can do it legally because they say
a real human being
isn't actually watching it unless they get some kind of a warrant or FISA report or something, you know. So let's continue this on. I want to talk to you too.
Okay.
We're living up here in the middle of a forest where there's no cell phone towers around us. We have no cell phone service. And so I had our smart meter taken off, which PG&E didn't want to do, But when I did, for one thing, our electricity bill went down 20 to 30%. And this has been over a period of a couple of years now. And when I took it off, the EMF pulses completely went away with my little detector, you know? So I'm really curious about...
I love the detector.
Yeah, what do you think about the EMF waves that are coming? We're bathing in this ocean of Wi-Fi and cell phone towers, and now they're coming out with 5G, which is going to be even more intense. What do you think about that?
Right. So, you know, luckily, we have not had smart meters so far in Mount Shasta. I missed the class. I missed the meeting yesterday. Apparently, they're trying to put smart meters here. So far, you know, my first case was actually Dr. Elizabeth Port. She wrote a book called The EMF Freedom, and she lived in Southern California. When the smart meter first was installed, she was supposed to be writing a book with me. You know, she was my publisher. And her both hands developed severe rash that she couldn't touch the computer, okay? And she was wondering, you know, what's happening, because she had been using computer, and she discovered the smart meter just put her tolerance of electromagnetic frequency to the edge. So I always tell people, it's not just one thing. It's a cumulative more and more until you hit a threshold that people go over the edge, okay? So that's what happened to Elizabeth, because the rash was so significant, people thought she had scabies, okay? So she wrote a book about the smart meter and electromagnetic frequencies and all this electrical wave bombarding our body. For me, as a physician and also a physiologist, human body is highly electrically charged. We are very sensitive because we're like a magnet. You know, like when you put a magnet in the magnetic field, you know, you just get controlled by all the different magnetic frequencies, right? If you don't believe me, you can get an EKG. You can get a brainwave measured, right? Our body is an electrical charged organ, a creature. We're electrically charged. And unfortunately, our body feels the best when we at the Sherman frequency, which is about 6.8 hertz. The Sherman frequency is the Earth's magnetic frequency, okay? And human body are burst in there, into this natural frequency. Our body have four brain waves,
alpha, beta, theta, and delta. The beta wave is fight and flight, it's much higher frequency. The alpha wave has the same frequency as the Sherman frequency, which is about 7 to 8 hertz. Alpha wave is associated with calm, peace, happiness, and content. You see? So when the body is disrupted by other frequency, our brain, the first reaction is our brain become distracted, cannot focus, and start having anxiety. Okay, I just want the people to know, when you feel anxiety, it's not like something wrong with you. It could be just your brain is fed up with no alpha frequency, right? Okay? And we have lots of neuroscientists have discovered PTSD. PTSD people have no alpha wave left in the brain, okay? So that's number one. Number two mechanism is they found out electromagnetic frequencies can increase cellular permeability, particularly blood-brain barrier. So blood-brain barrier is more permeable to the outside environment. And you have to understand, you know, our body create this blood-brain barrier, so the chemicals, neurotoxins, and all that crap can now just have free access into the brain. But now, together with the electromagnetic frequencies increasing permeability, you know, in the middle of the chemical pollution, what happened is our brain
is incredibly inflamed. It's basically being literally poisoned. And people say, okay, what is your scientific support of that, right? We found people are more sensitive to pesticides now. Some of the kids are experienced to rage. They actually start having rage when they are exposed to pesticides. And of course, pesticides are neurotoxins. They have more access to the brain. When you repair the blood-brain barrier with nutrition and taking off the phone and the Wi-Fi and turning it off, the body become calm again. So I think it's really important for people to know, you know, if you are in the bedroom, you probably need to take all electronics outside your bedroom. And you always have to understand some people are not sensitive and some people are. Just because you are not sensitive, it doesn't mean other people are liars. You know, I just want people to understand that. Now, the scientific background, to explain the scientific, the basic science explain why some people are sensitive, some people are not. Well, in the brain, we have excitatory neurotransmitters, also inhibitory neurotransmitters. They are in balance. The people who are very sensitive to stress, to head injury, to electromagnetic frequencies, are people they don't produce enough GABA. So genetically, they tend to create a glutamate storm. So if you can Google the glutamate, which is a monosodium glutamate, right? The same thing, neuroexcitatory neurotransmitters. Glutamate storm happens in people, they cannot, they massively release glutamate every time they're stressed out. And they cannot metabolize it into GABA. Okay, so these people can get hit on the head, glutamate storm. They can have electromagnetic frequencies massively in a concert, you know, some people in the concert with all the cell phones and electronic, and they get into a panic attack, right? They have to get out, not because they're on drug, because their brain just released so much glutamate, they couldn't calm down, you see? So those people will be really sensitive to any kind of stimulation, irritation, physical, emotional trauma. Have you noticed some people, they just seem to be, they can do anything. Nothing will touch them. Some people are so sensitive. Well, there is a neurotransmitter to explain the phenomena. So instead of saying this person must be crazy, you know, in my practice, I normally see those very sensitive people. I used to just think they're crazy. But now I know, right? Number one, they could have that genetic predisposition to glutamate storm. They could be having, you know, a hormonal deficiency. You know, some people go into menopause, they will be more sensitive as well. If people have adrenal fatigue, that's another reason these people can be sensitive. So instead of just poo-poo them, you know, you're just lying or you need to see a psychiatrist. And now I can understand why some people are sensitive.
Yeah, you know.
Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah. It's funny that you should even say that because I'm sort of, I know people that get so excited over the tiniest little things. And when I'm around them and I'm exposed to the same kind of input, they look at me and say, oh, my God, you must be so wise. You're so calm. But the truth is, I really don't know what they're getting upset about. You know, I don't understand it. It's such trivial stuff. And everything that they're getting so upset about, the thing that perpetuates whatever that problem is because they can't see the solution because they become the problem. And to explain that to them is a little difficult sometimes. It's a touchy subject, you know. But I go ahead and let them think that I'm wise and calm anyway.
Well, another thing I really have, come to understand humanity, we are all from the same source of light. And we're just having a different human experience, right? And there's a book called Dying to Be Me by Anita Mojani.
a beautiful book, talk about her near-death experience through cancer. She's the only case have spontaneous remission of cancer after near-death experience. And she really explained, we are all one. And the bad, the good, we're all from the source, the same source of light. And sometimes I feel frustrated when people don't want to listen to me and just keep going their way and died, you know. I realized, you know, it's all okay. We're all going to the same place. We're all here for a very short time, and try to be compassionate. Try to love everyone the way you love yourself. So so that really explained, you know, my journey. It's hard to be a physician, and sometimes you don't see people get well. You know, that's really hard. But then I realized it's an ego thing. You know, I don't have to heal people. When people heal, I don't take credit for their healing. But if they don't heal, I can't take blame for that either, right? So I really want you to just kind of like see that. I really honor you for being there, just being the messenger, you know, the educator. And we're all together in this.
We just have to remind them not to kill the messenger.
I know. Some people like to kill the messenger. Well, I always say, well, if you know if I died, maybe it's my time.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to do this again, Lou, because you're a valuable source of information.
Okay.
And I'll be in touch again, and let's get some. There's so many things that's going through my mind right now to ask you about, but unfortunately, the time factor is creeping in on us. So I just want to thank you for your time today, and we're definitely going to do this again. And maybe when my wife and I come up,
maybe when my wife and I come up to
Mount Shasta with the new issue of Lotus Guide, we'll give you a call.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you here.
Absolutely, Lou.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was a great interview. I tell you, I am sometimes humbled by people who can stay so uplifted and know so much about what's going on the planet. Because one of the complaints I get from people is, man, if I get into all this negative stuff, I'm just going to really feel terrible, you know? And that's not the case. The more informed you are, the more interesting things get. And I really thank Dr. Lou for coming on, and we're going to have her again. And you can look forward in the future for a interview I'm going to be doing with Greg Braden. And I'm going to be asking him a lot of questions that hasn't been asked before. So until then, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.